The current spoiler warning level is Azure.
Friends and folks, look to the sky. What color is the sky? It's azure. It carries aloft in it, perhaps at this moment, at this very moment, somewhere in that sky, a Boeing 747. It's real. You can find it. You can ride it. But I don't know if you should, given the recent shit that Boeing's been going through, which, you know, recent, you know, air quotes, they've been caught recently. I bet they've been doing it for a long time. Anyway, no spoilers. Please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista NG. They should make an amiibo of the gym. I'm Six Detmar.
I'm Dylan. Well, Gundam Breaker 4 is on Switch, so theoretically, they want to have amiibo support. That'd be insane.
I mean, if they were to do, it'd be crazy for them to do an amiibo, but if they did, they'd do their fucking Gun Barrel Striker, whatever the hell, right?
I mean, yeah, that's like the mascot of the game. And also maybe just like an RX-78 or something. That's the other thing. But yeah, I don't know if it would be
put it in Smash.
All right. Well,
gotta have the taunt be the like I've done something that I can never undo.
God.
All right. That you could have his windscreen be him escaping from Abaku.
No.
Just all the most traumatic moments.
With the lost, well, okay, so that would be the windscreen. Would the lost screen be the final? Like, the last shooting is like a heroic moment, but it's also the moment where the Gundam like fucking dies, like the object, the Gundam, you know. So it's like, is that what you use for the lost screen or what?
I think you have the like the Gundam is lying down in the background, and in the foreground is Amuro stress eating bread.
Okay.
That's got to be your lost screen.
I hate all this. All right.
Okay. Well, I think we should do a listener request. It's about time.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? There's
well,
one
we did,
you know.
Wait, did we do? Well, it doesn't matter. I'm okay doing another one.
We didn't. No. Last episode was not a request episode.
Wasn't last week the Akatsuki? No, that was 2 weeks ago, right?
That was two weeks ago.
For us, which is different than the release, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the other problem.
Well, no, it's not.
What?
Because this is also really it's 2 weeks ago, and then it'll be 2 weeks ago again because that's how releases work, right?
Right. I guess yeah. Yeah, I guess for the listener, it's not. Look, time.
They have the same experience we do. The numbers are different, but this gap is the same.
The gap is
anyway.
Overall the same. Yes. Yes. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay, funny. Second half. Where's the D8?
Well, since they already know, what did we even do last week? Can't remember.
Last week was the Arios.
Oh, right, yes, okay, I had them mixed up in my head. Okay, yeah. And we just rolled that.
Oh, I didn't write down who this one was. Sorry, I'm gonna roll again because I don't know who this is. I should go fix this. I need to update this list a little bit.
Gotcha.
Apologies.
All right.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, do you have a model number or?
I do. So this is a request from listener Sam.
No.
The model number, I think you're going to get this one.
Okay.
The model number is 747.
God damn it! Yeah, this is the Boeing, right?
Yes. Wait, was this Sam? Maybe it wasn't Sam.
No, I think Ivy. I can yell downstairs right now and figure out who the hell requested it.
Which one of your roommates did this?
Yeah,
figure out if
on.
I got this mixed up.
Hold on.
Yeah, we can have this on pod. Yes, it's yes. Fine.
Which of you requested the 747? Which of you requested the 747? okay. We have to put a correction. We had that as Sam, and I was just like, wait.
Oh, fuck it, damn it.
I can shout downstairs real quick and figure him. We could sort this out. Okay. That was Ivy. Yeah, that's Ivy. She is cheering and gloating about it. Ugh.
Sure.
All right. Yep. All right. God damn it. All right.
I also went live again by accident, but I fixed it.
Oh, well, we don't have to restart for the third time today, so you know what? It's fine. The Boeing 747. Oh, it's a chaos day. Appropriate to get something from Ivy. You said Sam, and I knew it was going to be... Look, whether it's Ivy or Sam, it's going to be some bullshit. I knew it. All right. The Boeing 747... does this have... Okay, now, hold on. Does this have... I see variants and developed into, but I don't see a developed from. So, is this... Did this just emerge out of the ether as its own thing, or what?
I mean, you know...
Obviously, things are going to be carried forward.
Mm-hmm.
But does it have a direct predecessor, or is this, like, a... You know, the Gundam Mark II is based on all these parts of different older suits and also some new shit.
I think this was, like, an intentional, like, effort to make sort of a... To start... What is the comparison here? It is like... I don't know the good comparison. Basically, it is created obviously within the history of airplanes and within that lineage, but it is a deliberate attempt to take those lessons and start with a new project, I believe.
Okay. Because, yeah, I can see there's like a 707, but mm-hmm. this is not like a...
And a 737.
Yeah. And I'm like noticing, though, like if you go to the 7... I love that planes actually are the things that have the most mobile suit-like pages on Wikipedia, by the way. when you look at the data mm-hmm. on there, but you can see that like the developed into the 707 does not actually become the 747, nor does the 737 is developed alongside. It looks like, or at least like around their development, there was a person who left the development team of the 737 to design the 747. You know, so mm-hmm. like the. I guess this is just like, okay, this we would just start with this being its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know what a 747 is because it's like a, like, you hear the name, you know? It's not like you don't hear it. But, like, I don't actually know what distinguishes it, what makes it unique, so...
I mean, very little.
I was gonna say, but... it just looks like a plane to me, you know? Like a passenger plane, I should say. Specifically. Well, let me find the earliest model of the 747 I can.
Yeah, so the 747 entered production, in 1970. It was the first ever plane called a jumbo jet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's fun, I guess. Let's get some, oh, you know what, let's get some, let's get the Sete.
Shut the fuck up. Don't call it that. Don't call it that. All right, whatever. Ivy just sent me, you sound so excited. I'm glad, babe, you deserve nice things. To me and one of my chats. Great.
Happy birthday month.
My birthday was last month.
Damn. So why are you still getting shit?
Because I don't escape it. It never stops. all right, well, find me the fucking, find me the setting notes of the earliest, oh wait, you do, in the Jamboard, right? Yep, I see it, okay. All right, so, what we have here is a plane. All right, to describe it, you've got a raised, it looks like the pilot's cabin is raised at the front, because the windows are a little higher up. Actually, that's a good point. What are all those windows that are below the pilot window there?
They're passengers.
Okay, so the pilots are above the passengers on this.
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. Okay, so, yeah, you have the... So I guess the pilot's cabin is actually at, like, the little part that's sticking up at the front. Pretty typical plane nose and stuff going on other than, well, it's big. And then, yeah, you have a row of windows on either side. It looks like it's got a total of 5 outward doors that look like they are, like, you know, your standard, like, plane doors.
Yeah, I believe only, from my experience, only these ones up at the front here are going to be, like, the ones that you normally, like...
Enter from.
Plane and deplane from. The rest of them are going to be emergency exits, I believe.
That makes sense. Or, like... So what I'm curious about is, are these lower doors? You can see that there are, like, these two lower ones, and I'm assuming it's the same on either side, because I'm guessing...
I would assume that's maintenance access.
Those are probably maintenance access. Okay, that makes sense, because it is, like, below the passenger areas and whatnot. Where what about luggage and whatnot? Where is that
stored? That stuff is front-loaded, so perhaps those very front windows are of the cargo bay, because...
Okay, cargo bay front-loaded. As you'll see here. Interesting. Oh, it opens its mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it eats the food, or the cargo. Okay.
I believe you can also load some from the back, because, like, basically every cargo plane you can do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this you have options.
Fair enough. That's a disturbing image. I don't like looking at it. Hold on. All right, thank you. Let us continue on. The wing design looks to be pretty typical. I say that. Actually, now that I look at it, they're swept back quite a bit. They have a decent sweep back. They look actually also a little sharper than I'm used to seeing. They also have 4 jet engines along the bottom, or 4 turbines, I should say, along the bottom. Then you've got all your, like, little flaps for, you know, air braking and whatnot all along it, and then for going, like, doing the up and down, maneuvering flaps, you know,
mm-hmm.
all over the front and back. Then as you go to the back, you've got your standard tri-tail plane thing going on, where you've got the 2 little subwings and then the top one. Actually, now that I'm looking at it, quite large, going for, like, the very back and the 2 rear, like, stabilizer wings. They're bigger than... It's weird, right? Because, like, I look at a picture of a Boeing, like, 747, and at a glance I go, oh, this is, like, a standard plane. And now I'm realizing, as someone who rode a bunch of planes, like, in a small period before moving out here, because I was, you know, visiting first, this is a big fucking plane.
Yeah, 747s are very big.
Yeah, I didn't quite realize how big until I started looking at this, and now I'm like, oh, actually, you know, maybe this isn't, like, just a regular plane, because this is pretty big. That would be, god damn it. But that would be it for its, like, basic design. Yeah, this was made in order to be, like, a jumbo jet, right? They wanted a jet that was 2.5 times the size of their 707, and also to reduce the seat cost by 30%, which...
Well, that's how they reduced the seat cost.
By making it bigger, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you could... Yeah.
Yeah, because the cost of flying it, it's like, well, at that point, it's mostly the fuel. You need, you know, the crew... doesn't, like, you don't need that much more crew, you don't need that much more maintenance.
I have to imagine, right, that you can, like, I have to imagine there's, like, a formula for this, right, where it's like, what is the maximum amount of people and objects we can pack on a plane while spending plane fuel, like you know what I mean, like, all these things have mm-hmm. a certain amount of cost to them, right? It's like it's like when I remember reading about how, like, when a person is learning how to fly and they're in one-man planes, how fucking expensive, like, the fuel is.
Yeah.
And, like, because there's the, there's, what is it, the $100 sandwich or whatever? I think they call it...
That's what they call me.
Hold on. It's the $100 hamburger, which is an aviation slang for an excuse for a general aviation... that they might use. A $100 hamburger trip typically invokes or involves flying a short distance, less than 2 hours, eating at an airport restaurant, then flying home. $100 refer to the cost of renting or operating a light aviation aircraft, such as a Cessna 172, for the time it took to fly a round trip to a nearby airport. However, increasing fuel prices have caused an increase in hourly operating costs for most airplanes. I remember seeing a whole bunch of stuff because this came up on, like, an old show I watched where, people that would rent airplanes would also do all kinds of weird shit to not, like, basically to lie about how much fuel they used or to, like, you know, save money by doing things like, oh, we're gonna just turn off the electrics and stuff and just kind of glide now that we're in the air and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is insane. Can't do that in a 747, obviously. You are not renting one of these, I imagine. But yeah, fucking big plane. And I mean, it's big.
Yeah, it's kind of like raised up for the cabin there, and then but most of it's just this pretty streamlined profile on top with a little bit of more curvature on the bottom, especially near the back, the tail.
It looks aquatic. It looks like an aquatic animal because it, like, I think the head of the plane reminds me of, like, a beluga whale or something because of how, like, the pilot cabin is, you know?
I mean, crucially, it is supposed to float in water.
Oh, is that actually a thing with it? Okay.
Well, that's why you can do water landings.
I guess, you know what? That makes sense.
I might need to use some, there might be some mechanism for that. Though Dylan says this is the closest you would get to like a mecha like entry, it is still quite far from being that, and doesn't have in mind people doing the sicko shit we're doing right now.
Oh well, yeah, 1,574 have been built, including prototypes. They apparently stopped production last year, huh?
Go figure.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
could take a quick look at the cabin, the cockpit, excuse me, not the cabin. Yeah. You can do the cabin in a moment. This is early production where they have a flight engineer. Usually they don't have a flight engineer, I believe. Just the pilot and co-pilot hanging out.
Oh, I've seen Airplane. Cause this it looks similar to the one in Airplane.
Yeah, that's what airplanes look like, Dylan.
Well, yes, I know, but look. I mean, there are some cockpits that look a little cleaner. The specific crampedness and all the fucking gauges in the world.
I mean, to be fair, your flight engineer there is, like, really, like, crunching his shoulders together like he's in a closet or something. It's not that small. He's kind of overreacting.
Well, like, I think the problem is, generally speaking, I'm used to seeing more modern, like, slightly more modernized plane cockpits.
This is a pretty early model, yeah.
Like they're still full of gauges and stuff. They feel a little cleaner. This feels very like many lights and look at the above panel. That's the thing that really sells it to me of being like an earlier one is like look at all of that on the above.
Yeah. It's a lot.
But yeah. I think also, to be fair, them piloting at a timing when it's, like, nighttime probably is what is also making it look a bit more over-complex because of all the extra lights. Because they need to be able to see what these things are.
If I'm looking at this image, let me pull it up again on a different screen because I don't want to mess with the view for the folks at home here. But if I'm reading correctly, it says on the top there ESS radio bus. So there's a bunch of and then there's like FLT something bus. There's a bunch of like circuit breaker overrides. This is not stuff you're normally using.
Yeah, no, probably. Hopefully not. I am imagining if you're using those, there are problems at hand.
Uh-huh. So, like, there's a bunch of stuff here, you know, like, they want to be, you're in the sky, if something happens, you can't call a repairman, so they have a bunch of, like, backup stuff, but a lot of this equipment they generally don't need.
Yeah. Also, realizing that my view of cockpits is also colored by realizing how often it's because I've been playing things like Ace Combat and whatnot, and I'm used to just seeing one-person jet cockpits as opposed to general...
I mean, have you seen an A-10 Thunderbolt cockpit?
Show me an A-10 Thunderbolt cockpit.
I will. One second. It's a fucking lot.
Let's compare this to, like, one that I know. Here's, like, a MiG interior cockpit. Still has a lot of panels and switches and stuff. It's just not as big.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's a size difference, but, like...
I mean, I guess that is still a lot going
a lot
on around
of fucking
you.
Stuff.
Just start running your hand along the console. It's fine.
I have fond memories of there was a A-10 Thunderbolt sim and Vinnie Caravella from Giant Bomb at the time, obviously not anymore, Nextlander these days, was like trying to practice it so that they could do a stream. And they're like, okay, I'll run my startup sequence. And it took like 20 minutes of reading an elaborate list he'd made and flipping a bunch of switches. And then there was a rapid beeping and he's like, don't worry, that's normal. And he flips a button, it turns off, and he flips another thing and there's another beeping. And he's like, okay, that one's not. And there's a boom. And he turns and looks around and the rear engine and the left wing are gone.
That's not good. I need to find that. Hold on. Hold on.
Save it for after the episode. Be a professional, Dylan.
I'm just opening it so I won't forget about it.
Okay,
there we go. All right. Because here's the thing. We will probably run another little while, and I will completely forget about it in, you know, 40 to 60 minutes. But yeah, honestly, it's funny because even though, like, it's a separate cockpit unit, it's kind of cramped. I mean, like you said, though, that they eventually don't have the flight engineer on board and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just funny to think of, you know, like it's like, oh, they have their little above, like, pilot area. Not really. It's still, like, very crammed in.
Yeah. It's always just, you know, doing the bare minimum to get by and stay profitable, so.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's what this is built around, right? They pack as many people on board a vehicle that goes through the air as possible. For as cheap a cost as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big fucking engine. I assume that's one of the turbines.
Yeah, that's one of the turbofans. They've stripped off all the shielding on it in this image, so you can basically just see the part that does most of the work. It has four of those.
Don't walk in front of that. Even if it was turned off, I would not want to walk in front of that. That looks scary. It's big. It would eat me.
Oh, you want to see it being built.
Oh, show it, sure.
This is an image right here. Sorry, folks, for listening to the audio version. We appreciate you, but also the video version is really good.
I mean, also, you know, we'd be describing this on the audio one anyway.
Yeah, but also, actually, this is one of the easier ones, because you can just look at the Wikipedia. That's all we're doing, so.
Yeah. Oh, lordy. So much happening. It's a big fucking hangar, I'm realizing.
Yeah, you just build a little town to make this plane.
Yeah, I'm building a small, you have a small village set up in order to, like, this is where you will live now in order to make this plane. I mean, I can see why only like 1,000 of them have been built since 1968. Like,
I mean, this is why they say it takes a village to make a Boeing.
What, is that a saying? I've never heard that.
No, it's extremely not a saying.
Yeah, okay, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, look... For all I know, you could be pulling out some esoteric bullshit that might be real.
Alas, not so much.
You know, it's really funny looking at the landing gear there, how little there is, given how big the plane is.
Yeah, I mean, there are, like, it's 16 wheels for the main, and then I think two in the front. But it is just like, you know... It just lands on these fucking things, and it's fine for some reason. It doesn't seem like it should be fine. It doesn't seem like that's how physics should work, but here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not even, like, particularly, like, fancy-looking struts or anything going on with it.
I mean, they seem decently reinforced, at least.
Yeah, but I mean, I've played Kerbal. I'm used to putting so many more struts on things to make them stable.
Sure. There's, so first of all, Kerbal makes everything out of styrofoam in a way that is, like, I know they can't realistically model damage, but the how easy it is to break shit in Kerbal is a little frustrating sometimes.
That is fair, that is fair. I am, drawing on my only expertise, which is I play simulators sometimes, and I play Kerbal.
This is a fun moment to remind folks that I was very briefly in the United States Air Force.
Ah, I always forget that.
Yeah, it's really easy to forget. I didn't make it through basic because of medical concerns. Basically, they figured out before I fully had that I had got kidney disease, and they were like, "That sounds expensive. Get the fuck out of here."
God.
Which is really funny. It's really funny because kidney disease is covered by Medicare, right?
Uh-huh.
So the government was going to be paying for it no matter what. It is a case of one branch of the government forcing it to be another branch of the government's problem.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That is, I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, that, I guess that is just true.
Uh-huh.
Also, just to pull it to the front, because we didn't talk about this part. That's so many passengers crammed in there.
It's a lot.
Well, it's because, like, when I went on, the planes I went on were, you know, two columns of seats, and they were, you know, two seats wide, right? So it's like, you had, mm-hmm. like, a central hall, and then you had the two seats on the left, two seats on the right. Like, the kind of planes I went on, like, when I was, riding planes. When I realized that, oh, fuck, maybe I do, like, some real-life mechanics, because I got a window seat once, and I was staring over at the wing and looking at all the flaps moving, and I'm like, oh, fuck, maybe I do just like mechanisms in general.
It's cool.
It is cool to watch. I was like, oh, planes are boring. And then I look out the window, I'm like, oh, look at the wing. It's got little flaps that are moving up and down, and I can see little things going on. That's so cool. And I was just like, oh, no, I am just fundamentally brain broken. Is that? Oh, no, that's, like, the emergency panel above, right? Like, in the center area there, that, like, with the handle. That's the thing that pops down with the oxygen mask when an emergency happens, right?
I guess so.
Well, because yeah, that wouldn't be luggage above you in the middle.
No, it would.
That would be a very bad place to put, like, carry-on, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I guess up above is where the carry-on is. But
then again, looking at how those would swing, suck to be one of the people on the right whose head gets bonked by that thing opening up. I don't know.
It's also like, I don't know, is this like a prototype or something? Because there's also like, there's no light, there's no little air thing up above, there's no call button. I don't understand the setup.
I don't know what's going on here, actually, with this versions of the seating we are looking at there.
Mm-hmm.
Look, my other experience with seeing a plane in an emergency is I watched Final Destination 1. And I know that when an emergency happens, the little things pop down and you gotta grab the mask for oxygen and whatnot.
Oh, sure. I mean, you've been on a plane before. They gave you the tutorial, right?
They just kind of told us to read through the thing, and I admit I did.
That's illegal.
I mean, they handed us the paper thing, and then they... They went over it very quickly. This is how
they go over it pretty quickly.
Yeah,
but...
I don't have it memorized. I went on a plane a couple of times, but you know.
Well, yeah, it's very simple.
Admittedly, every time I took a flight, also I literally fell asleep like a little after getting on the flight, and then I would wake up in the middle of the flight, and so the whole beginning of the flight is mostly a blur to me. I mostly remember the middle. Parts of the flight.
Well, Dylan, okay, let's give you a quick rundown. So when the pressure drops, if it detects a pressure drop, these compartments will open and masks will drop down.
Yeah.
You're going to need to make sure you put yours on first before you help anyone around you. And please keep in mind that there is a little bag. The bag may not inflate. That does not mean oxygen is not flowing.
Yeah, that's basically as quick as they went over it. Thinking on it.
Do you want me to demonstrate the seatbelts now?
No.
Okay. I thought I'd ask. I thought I'd offer. You know, I'm friendly.
Well, there are are people who really wanted to, like, be able to, like, get up and down, which weirded me out, because I'm like, this is like a, you know, however many, it's not like a super long flight, just sit down and wait. But there were people who...
Maybe they had to use the bathroom.
Yeah, I know.
Look, you know your seat cushion could use it as a flotation device, right?
Yes, I do know that much. Okay, and okay. So can the emergency doors on at least the plane I was on.
That's true. That's true.
That I for some reason that's the part I fucking remember them going over. Actually, now that I think about, it. I think it's because it's just something I never thought about. Really, you know, where it's just like, oh yeah, the door itself is also a flotation device, and I'm like, I'm flying from Vegas to Pittsburgh. When would I be over water? I think that's why I remembered it, is because I was like, hold on. I'm like,
well, you can go off course. What if you ended in the Great Lakes?
I guess fucking somehow I've ended up in the middle of Lake Michigan, just like, I don't know, just the idea of that. Like I said, it's like, it's not that there aren't bodies of water, obviously, between the two areas.
I mean,
areas,
Pittsburgh is surrounded by water.
But, like, I don't know, I feel like I'd be much more worried about the plane crashing into the ground going from Vegas to Pittsburgh than into water. And in which case, I'm fucked.
Okay, let's see here.
Don't you pull out the map. Let's keep going over the goddamn Boeing 747. Let us continue.
That seems like that could happen. You could end up in a Great Lake. Also, yes, hi, I'm in Los Angeles County. I don't fucking care if you know. I've made this a public fact.
I mean, yeah. Anyway. Also, you have to remember, I didn't travel much until, like, I suddenly traveled a lot. I literally lived in Vegas my whole life and never fucking, like, left, basically, ever, other than, like, a drive to California every now and then, every couple of years. I was very secluded. I do not, planes are still mystical objects to me. It's just that I then rode on a plane a total of 5 times in a 1.5 year period.
It's just like those nomadic tubes you can get, like, at, like, you know, the drive up at a bank or something.
Well, that's
they just
Futurama
put wings on
now.
It. It's very scary.
Anyway, let us continue. Okay, so it looks like, oh, also I should mention, so we showed that one there, that's the economy class deck that seats in a 3-4-3 layout. Apparently there are also ones that do I guess, like, some upper... Oh, there's actually an upper deck cabin, too. Huh.
Huh. Oh, is it this right here?
I guess so, yeah. Because, it mentioned that they also have a, like, some later 747s have a, like, 6 abreast seating, 3x3, or whatever. Here.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3x4.
See, that looks like I expected the inside of a plane to look at.
Or 5.
That, yeah, you've got all this, all the fixins.
Yeah, that seems... and again, the planes I went on were a little smaller because it was only 2, but, you know, that was about right. Yeah, that's a plane. I'm trying to see, like, anything else with it, basically, that would be interesting. I mean, it seems like... This thing's scary to me, realizing how big it is and how much is going on with it.
Do you want to talk about some variants?
Talk about variants. We can also. I'm like looking and I'm like, oh no. I like that they have a whole section called 747 hull losses.
Uh huh. Yeah. I mean, you have enough of these. A few people gonna die.
I was gonna say it's actually not as high as you would think. You know, there have been a total of 60 accidents. Which, considering that there are 1,574, that's not, like, the worst, really. 32 also had no loss of life of those 60s. 60.
That's all right.
That's actually not that bad of a record. Better record than cars, still, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know? I know you can't do that all the time, but I do like to always remind myself that, like, when something has a better or worse death record than a car... because, you know, but yeah.
I gotta show you some pictures here of the Boeing Dreamlifter, which is the cargo conversion of the 747.
Oh, like purely cargo? Oh my god! Yeah, that is purely cargo. Jesus.
So first off, you want to see the first time they converted it, just to see what it looks like, makes it look horrifying. Just to see.
Oh, because this is a conversion,
like...
right? Yeah.
Yes.
This is like when you're watching when you have like someone making a custom Gunpla and you can tell what parts have been added on over it. I love this. Mm-hmm. I love that actually. It's called the Dream Lifter. That's funny. You're not lifting dreams. You're lifting cargo, you motherfuckers.
Oh, the Wikipedia's Wikimedia is down.
Oh.
What timing?
Oh,
there it is. All right, it was just down for a couple seconds. I need to send you the upsetting picture.
Oh, okay.
You didn't like the mouth, but do you like? Pausing for loading.
I was gonna say, like, drum roll.
The butt.
Oh, that looks kind of funny, actually. I mean, it's so funny to me that looks like it's damaged, even though clearly it's not. But that, like,
it's just got a hinge at the back.
But, like, the way that, like, the area, the way that you can see, like, the hole and the internals there, it just looks like that is, like, oh, this is an accident that happened, not a, this is an intended feature, you know?
I mean, yeah, you would have to, like, given how completely this swings open, there have to be, like, plugs and stuff there to reconnect, like, the electronics.
Yeah.
And avionics. That's demented.
Yeah, well, we need to move a lot of cargo. Oh, this wasn't even made until 2007, huh? This wasn't as early as I thought.
I guess so.
You can
get a quick comparison of the line art here.
yes, let us compare the setae.
So you can see there a very different profile here, as opposed to this nice like up, down, and straight. You have this up and then down. It's got more of a bump to it.
Yep.
For the cargo. Also, not a lot of emergency exits. If you're locked in that cargo hold, fuck you.
Well, I think you shouldn't be in there, right? Theoretically, while it's flying.
Well, it imagines, but who knows?
I mean, yeah. I guess more accurately, I should state, feels like you would just not want to be.
Mm-hmm.
In there, during, like, its flight. But... All right, well, we've got one variant. What other variants?
There's a ton of variants. A lot of them I'm not going to mention because there's just like, we changed the engines. We modified the internal seating. And like, who fucking cares? Like, I mean, you know, I'm sure that's worth doing. That's not worth us discussing.
Well, I guess my question would be overall, are they cases where it changes the visuals of it, right?
Mostly not. The ones where that happens, I will try and note.
Like,
for
that's
example,
the thing that is more interesting to us, right, is like when we can see the visual changes of.
For example, the 747-8 looks a little different once this loads in here.
Oh, that one's
it's a stretchy boy.
Yeah, that one's got like a weird like smoothing to it now.
It's also got new engines.
Okay.
Before launch, they called this the 747 Advance. But
oh shit! Okay.
Then there's also
looks
the
like
cutie here.
You know what? Looking at it, just a quick notice about it. Its shape being like that, like looking so like much more smooth. It reminds me of like a fucking Ace Combat 3 plane.
It does have some like fictional airplane design looks to it.
Well, because like Ace Combat 3, because it's like in the future, loves to do all these like really weird concept designs that are, you know, much like concept cars are all like really weirdly like rounded and such. And this just, I don't know, this just reminds me of those. But, you know.
There's also the 747 SP. It's a stubby little guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we have shortened it. Which is weird, because wasn't it built to be huge? So it's like, well, at that point, what is the advantage of shortening it then? Of the shortening the same design? Oh, okay, it's designed to go longer ranges.
Oh, I see.
Okay. That you know what? That I can understand that. Basically, I guess by cutting that off, it's going to reduce the fuel use or something. Make it so it can travel further. Does mention that Boeing made it because they needed a smaller aircraft to compete with the McDonnell Douglas DC-10 and the Lockheed L-1011 TriStar.
Okay.
So, that's why they made it.
There's the VC-25, which is not that remarkable, except for that there is a sort of a notable model. I don't want to call it an Ace Custom, because fuck this guy, but...
Oh?
The VC-25... God, the loading times always fuck up my dramatic timing so badly. This is the Air Force One.
Oh, right, okay. So. I guess that makes sense. Didn't really think about that, but yeah.
Yeah. You also got the SCA. Nice. The SCA is pretty cool. This one is genuinely cool.
Okay.
These ones are operated by NASA, or were, I suppose. They're probably not being used anymore, because the thing that they're made to do has been decommissioned. They carry space shuttles.
Oh, shit. Okay. Fair enough. Is it just for transporting a space shuttle from one place to another? Before launch?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know if it's before launch. It might be for recovery or something. I don't know. I guess that probably you're right. Probably it's...
Well, I guess...
Oh, it was for testing. That makes sense.
Okay. Huh. So weird seeing the shuttle on top of the plane, though.
It is weird.
But it is fun. Glad it has those extra stabilizers on the stabilizing fins on the back there.
This is so good. Okay. Oh, I'm excited about this one. You want to talk Ace Combat. I think they never actually made this.
Okay.
But they drew up blueprints and they were like, technically we could do this. We have the tech. In 1973, we have the tech to make the 747 AAC.
Oh,
airborne aircraft
yes,
carrier.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Now we are on some Ace Combat shit. Yeah. Fucking. Look at all the fucking jets. It's like, oh yeah. Look, we can cram this many fucking one man jets inside of it. I love that. Very Ace Combat.
So good. So good.
Out of curiosity, do is there any occasion where anyone has actually built like an airborne aircraft carrier?
I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know.
I know that
know
they've, like,
sure.
come up enough, like, conceptually, but I don't think. Okay, some airships were used for them at one point. Two rigid airships that were built for scouting duties, I guess, could house some Curtiss F-9C Sparrowhawk biplanes. The Zvenno project, which was a Soviet Union one. Looks like it never... Let's see. It looks like maybe it... Let's see. Consisted of some TB-1s or a TB-3 heavy bomber mothership and 2 to 5 fighters, depending on the variant. The fighters either launched with a mothership or while docked in flight, and they could refuel from the bomber. Okay, so yeah. And it was operationally used with good results against targets in Romania during the opening stages of the German-Soviet War. So...
There's also the YAL-1, which was part of the Star Wars project.
Oh,
which is always an embarrassing name to remember.
Right, that was yeah. So what does it? Just
it's
have
got
a
big laser on the front
say,
armament section.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's probably just got a big big like anti-missile laser, right?
Uh huh. Yeah. Chemical oxygen iodine laser.
Lamau, it got scrapped after 2014. Jesus.
I love this concept. This concept CG looks so funny to me.
What is it? Oh, no. It's so goofy. What's the laser on top? Is that just, like, a targeting one?
I guess? I don't know.
Well, like, obviously, the front one would have to be the one that is actually the real one. For, like, doing any actual damage.
Well, apparently it was supposed to have multiple, was the plan.
Oh, okay.
You can see, actually, yeah, you can see on this image.
Also, that CG is inaccurate because the coil cannot be seen with the naked eye. It's a boring. It's one of the boring lasers.
It's you just have to be like trust me, guys, it's doing something.
Yeah, or you run in front of it and probably get like 10 forms of cancer. You know.
Sure. I mean, cancer. I think you would fucking die.
I mean, well, how hot? I don't actually know about how strong is this, given the size.
Well, it's meant to blow up bombs.
Yeah, but I'm like, do tactical lasers that are, how strong are they? Like, I'm like thinking about, because I know lasers as a practical weapon are generally not like a thing you can do.
The ABL, which is the actual, I don't know, whatever, it's the part we're talking about. The ABL did not burn through or disintegrate its target. It heated the missile skin, weakening it, causing failure from high-speed flight stress.
Okay, see that, so I think it wouldn't, like,
I think it would cause your skin to fail.
I guess it's true.
If it does it to metal, your skin don't got a chance.
Hold on. Coil laser effects on human. Effects can range from mild skin burns to irreversible injury to the skin and eye. Okay? That is just lasers in general. That is not... I want to know the coil laser! I mean, I guess it makes sense we've never seen it hit a person, but still...
Oh man, you gotta get, okay. this is a real image. This is not a CG, though it might be enhanced, I can't tell, because it's so fucking like sci-fi Bill Nye bullshit that it's
show me
incredible.
Oh, amazing. That one's probably not I'm assuming I
Hacker Man.
Well, here's the thing. Real life lasers, like green, well, good thing he has his fucking goggles on. You wouldn't want to actually be in the room with this. You would go blind. I do know enough about lasers that when lasers are green, you should not look at them with the naked eye. That is bad. Actually, most lasers, honestly, that are better than like a standard like crappy pen light laser or whatever, you should probably just have safety goggles on in general when working with them, because they will burn your retinas out.
Seems like this guy's chilling, though. I mean, you know, he does have his goggles on.
Yeah, well, and while he's tinkering with stuff, he's not putting his hand in front of the fucking things, which would cause problems. Okay, it does mention for avionics that, the YAL-1 has, the YAL-1 has an ABL infrared detector and then two target illumination lasers.
So, okay. Oh,
I guess that would make sense, right? Like, for a moving target, you would also want it to be illuminated, especially, like, in a low-light circumstance, shining a laser that would just, like, you know, lock on to keep a target, like, illuminated would probably be good, actually. Well, especially given, I mean, this thing was, it was first flown in 2002, but, like, you mentioned this was, like, for Star Wars, which was, like, clearly, this must have been, like, planned out from, like, at least, like, the 80s, right?
I guess, yeah.
I'm trying to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. So, it took them that long to build it, and then they scrapped it anyway. That's kind of the history of most military histories, and especially the
United
military States,
spending.
Yep. And especially the United States military.
Mm-hmm.
I
can move on to another friend. This one. I actually am going to call a friend because it's not a military vehicle. This is the 747 Super Tanker.
Okay. Looks like it's a little bit... Well, I can't tell if it's actually chunkier or if it's just the colors that make it feel that way.
I think it's just the colors. But this friend is a firefighter.
Oh. Fair enough. Oh, that would explain the coloration. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it does, in fact, have firefighting colors. But, yeah.
Oh, man, they helped out in California just Oh God, 6 years ago. Time, Jesus Christ. Okay, but yeah. So that's that one. We also have a fun picture here of the Sophia.
Okay.
Which is of course an acronym.
That makes sense. What is it?
This is the this is the Stratospheric Observatory for Infrared Astronomy.
Oh.
So this this is an ASAPAL.
Huh. Does that have a... Is that like a telescope in the back?
That's correct. It's got a telescope with a door over it.
Okay, that's pretty cool. That's a fun one.
You can get a great little logo it's got here. And then I'll also get you a picture of its big telescope.
Establish 2010, close 2022. Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, no, like a lot of NASA things, they just defund it.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a way cooler picture of the telescope. Damn, that's cool looking. All right.
Hold on.
This one, and then we can move on.
Let's see. Oh, hell yeah. Okay, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
All right.
I don't know. Any other ones you want to talk about?
I can't really think of any. I do want to show this image of the Boeing and a bunch of its variants next to each other, because it is funny just seeing all these, like... You can see, I mean, the normal ones at the top there, and then you got all these, like, variants from the side. Mostly it's just length is a little different, mostly. Slightly different wing designs. Like, you have the 747-400, which the wing tips are now, like, angled upward, and, basically it. And it added a door to the upper cabin, it looks like, and some more windows. Same with the 747-8, which added more to the upper cabin as well. It looks like they really want to be like, they may as well just make a double-decker version of this, honestly, at this point, just all the way back. You know, there's probably a reason you don't. I'm assuming there's like some kind of loss of capital or something, or fuel efficiency with doing that.
You know what? We should also last one, because it from the outside it doesn't look interesting. This is the E4. You look at this and you're like, who cares? But there is, first of all, its role is kind of interesting, but secondly, we have a really cool graphic of it. This is the current night watch plane for the U.S. military, which basically just means it's in the air flying around in case we all get nuked.
Fair enough.
And this cross just a section, big sense? I think, looks... It's just a big, like, there's a desk, there's a conference room.
Oh, yeah!
That's...
Okay. It is, in fact, just a command post. Could you imagine just being in this plane, just, like, having to just, like, sit there at your, like, desk or whatever, doing your desk work while on a plane? Sounds like it would be uncomfortable, honestly.
I get motion sick, so, yeah. It's like car sickness, right? Like, if I'm not, like, reading something, if I'm not trying to pay intense visual attention to something, it's fine. So, like, I could make conference calls, but I could not do this podcast on a plane.
I do like the little bunk beds near the front.
Oh, those are fun. Those are fun.
Now, what I say we do is, after the collapse of society, I find this, and then we turn it into a dwelling, and I live in it. Yay. And all my friends...
Just parked on the ground, or...?
Yeah, and all my friends live in it. I always thought that would be cool. I think the reason why... Ironically, it's because... Okay, so I would play Star Wars Galaxies, and they had a bunch of custom houses in it, right? Some of the custom houses included fallen vehicles, though. So it was like, we made a house inside of an AT-AT or whatever. Like, it's like a fallen AT-AT, and then you build some steps up to it, and then, you know, it's... I always thought that was neat, and then I realized, wait, planes and stuff are also huge. You could just make a house out of these.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I think the other week I was looking at train cars because of this. I was like, how much would it cost to just buy, like, a train car?
Too much.
Way too much, yeah, no. But you know what I mean, like especially like an older like cabin train car. I was like, you could just live in there.
Yeah, we just need to wait for the collapse of society. It can't be too long now.
then we all live inside of trains. But yeah. All right. Well, with that six, anything else or?
I think that's all I've got. I mean, yeah, as we mentioned, there are a bunch of other ones. There are ones where it could be like, oh yeah, the deck is, I guess, a few inches longer. Like, you know, there's a bunch of tiny little changes here and there. But I don't know. It's a fun plane. I don't have any actual opinion. Okay, what do you think of the design of the 747? Because I honestly, I don't think I have an opinion. It just looks like a
plane. It looks like a plane. That's the problem, right? Like I mentioned that it looks big if I stare at it long enough, right? But overall, it's very much like the platonic ideal of a plane, I feel like. Or of a jumbo jet, I guess I should say. It's like burned into my brain as like, this is just a plane, you know? And like, that's kind of the thing with a lot of passenger planes, I feel. Like, because they are so built for their function, which is just moving people from point A to point B, they're all pretty similar. You know, like, obviously, like, jets and whatnot, it's easier to have like, oh, this one looks cool or whatever, because they have all these, like, specialized roles that they are doing, you know? And I mean, hell, even look at this, like, when we comment more on, like, some of the converted versions, because it's like, oh, look at all these, like, weird things going on with it. I just feel like a passenger plane or jumbo jet or whatever just doesn't have as many quirks overall, so it's harder to be like, oh, you know.
And even, like, I grabbed an instance of, like, oh, here's a weird friend, here's one of its rivals back in the day, the L-1011 TriStar. But it's, like, it's weird in one spot and the rest of it's normal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got the, what is that, like, an extra engine, I'm assuming, on the back?
An S-duct. Yes, S-duct engine.
Okay, yeah, so.
Because the air goes, like, zit, zit, zit.
Oh, TriStar, because it's got three, it only has three. It's got the two main ones, I'm assuming, on the wings, and then that big one on top as well.
Presumably that's why it's named. You know, it'd be very funny if they were like, huh, no, we never put that together. That's funny. We just like the name.
Well, you know, because I was thinking, it's like the 747 has four engines, right? But they're all on the wings. Now, let me see if this has more engines on the wings that we aren't seeing. No, it just has
three. Okay. Well, there's a version that does, but generally, no.
Okay, it is actually pronounced L-1011 also. I called it that because I was looking at the name, like, what do I even say for that? And it's funny that that's just what went to mind, and I just went to the page, and it's like, oh yeah, no, that is in fact how you pronounce that.
Indeed.
But, yeah. Like I said, it's like a weird thing with like planes, because like a lot of passenger planes just have a very similar look overall, I feel like. Which makes sense. Again, they are built for a very specific purpose. It is for loading people through the fuselage and loading some cargo in the fuselage and then bringing those people to places. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very, very simple and elegant thing to want with your vehicle, as opposed to us looking at mobile suits, which are all very inelegant, but that inelegance is why it's like, oh, hell yeah, you know?
And, like, you look at, like, probably the most remarkable thing I could pick. Okay, like manufacturer, take a look at this plane and tell me who made this plane.
No clue.
Yeah, it's Airbus. This is the A380, which is the largest commercial jet in the world.
Oh, hey, like, that one is a double-decker.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, and you notice, like, oh, this is, like, taller, but it just looks like a plane.
But it's a plane. I guess I could comment on the end of the wings has these extra little, like, blippy boos at the end.
I don't know what that's the technical term. Yeah.
I don't know plane terms, really. I assume they're just, like, little stabilizers or something. Stabilizing wings.
Oh man, actually, this is kind of fun. One of their test flights, mm-hmm. where they've just got it loaded with ballast.
Okay.
It's just fun looking.
Let's see. Yeah. Yeah, that's sure is ballast. Looks comfy. The walls, ironically, because of all the padding.
Yeah, because all the bare insulation, yeah.
Going to lay on the insulation. You see what I mean, though? If you hollow one of these out, you can make a pretty nice living quarters.
It'd be all right. It'd be all right.
Well, like, it is prepped for you to do some nice sectioning. You know, you build some artificial walls, and you can have, like, a hallway and devoted rooms really easily.
I mean, shit.
Time to live in my commune who lives inside the hollowed-out Airbus.
The ones that are actually flying right now that anyone bothers using, because these are so fucking expensive, actually are one step ahead of you on that.
Oh. Or are they set up like a... Oh, yeah, they are set up like train cabins. That's the thing, though, right? Like, if you look at it, they look like they would work as train cabin setups, you know? Jesus Christ, that is opulent, though.
Yeah.
They have carpeting in there. Look at that. Could you imagine
It's for flying to Dubai, so, you know.
Oh,
it's
gonna be
fucking rich people with money that they don't have to do with, so.
Yeah. Good. We will take this as a home. This will be where the commune is.
We will secure this for the revolution.
Oh, but yeah, like, it's just funny seeing it be, I mean, you know, that was the thing I thought was cool about trains, though, right? Funnily, is that, like, oh, look, you can have, like, trains set up to have rooms, right? Usually it was like, you know, they have like the one side, or like the one, like, usually it's cordoned off. So like, you know, one side of the train is the hallway and then you have all the rest of them turn into little rooms. And I used to always think that was so cool, you know, especially on like the fancier trains. And then you have like the dining car on the train and stuff. Probably not as expensive to do it on a train than it is on a plane, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, this motherfucker makes fucking mini tornadoes when it flies.
What?
It creates a wingtip vortex.
Oh, okay. Oh, is that why it's got the little thingies on the end of the wings?
I guess, probably to break it up so it's not as bad. I don't know. I'm extremely speaking outside of my expertise.
Yeah. But yeah, like, that's basically it. I can't think of anything else though.
We're super done here.
Yeah. All right. Well, Six, where can people find you and your work online?
You can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SIXDETTMAR. Also co-host there. And my DMs are open for any questions, comments, listener requests. You can also find me at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia for all my work and that the work of a lot of my friends. Dylan, what about you?
You can find me at lowpolyrobot on twitter.com as well as on co-host. And basically, yeah, I just post my games and kind of hang out, you know. That's basically it. So,
I'm going to combine two different quotes for this one.
Uh-huh.
The 747, or something like it, has to happen. It will be a great weapon for peace, competing with intercontinental ballistic missiles for mankind's destiny. Shut the fuck up, it's a plane!
Yeah, I've heard better anime villain speeches.
Get off your own dick.
I've heard way better anime villain speeches before. Like, that's like a 2 out of 10.
Yeah.
Maybe a 1. It's not very good.
It's not great. It's not great.
All right. Peace. I think I better get out.